Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Today's message is actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. Yeah, you know, I don't usually jump right into the Bible, but is it okay if I jump right into the Bible? Yeah. So there's this king, his name is Joash in 2 Kings, I believe it's chapter 13, and Joash is having some problems with the Syrians, so he goes to the man of God, and he says, "Man of God, I need your help. I think it's really cool how the top dog, the head hog, the big boss, still goes to the man of God, or goes to God for guidance, right?" See, in the Old Testament, they had to go to the man of God because they couldn't go to God themselves. You and I, we can go to God ourselves because we have a new covenant. Amen? So he goes to the man of God, and the man of God places his hand over his hand on the bow. And he says, "Open the east window and shoot out an arrow." So he says, "Okay. Oh, by the way, this isn't the message to sleep through. Because I ain't playing." I wanted to use a real bow and arrow, and they're like, "You're not that accurate." So he shoots one out the east window. And after he does that, he said, "You're surely going to defeat Syria. Now take your arrows and hit the ground." So he goes and he takes his arrows and he says, "Okay, I'll hit the ground. 1, 2, 3, done. Got that done." And the man of God freaks out. He's like, "What do you mean? Tap, 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 you're done. You're only going to defeat Syria 3 times now. You shouldn't have done tap, tap, tap. You should have gone after it. You should have done 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, as many times as you hit the ground as many times as you would defeat them." And when I was preaching this in West Palm Beach, I was trying to come up with a song. I thought it was the Rolling Stones, and then I thought it was Elvis, and I was informed by the congregation it's Toby Keith. But then he's got a song that goes, "A little less talk and a lot more action." That's what God wants out of us. A little less talk. Now speak faith words, right? John Hillary Osteen, Joel's daddy, used to say, "Thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words leaves the heart out of defeat and into victory every time." That's a good saying, isn't it? But Dr. James in the Bible says, he says, some people say, "I have faith." Other people say, "I have action." And James says, "I will show you my faith by my actions." Wow, so we've got some faith words, but how are we backing it up? You ever been in a fight? Say, you got what it takes to back that up?
Yeah.
No. I'm a girl, and I wear earrings, and I got fingernails. Leave me alone. But in the faith realm, I got what it takes to back it up, and so do you.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise. Actions speak louder than words. So after the Imagine event in West Palm Beach, some pastors drove in from a few hours away from different directions. So it was after 11 o'clock at night, and I thought, "Oh, they drove. We need to take them out to eat." All that was open was, we'll call it the pancake restaurant. We're going to leave them nameless. Because her actions... the lady, the hostess lady, we're speaking louder than her words. We walked in, she's like, "How many of y'all are there?" "Well, there's 12 of us." "You mean I'm going to have to put tables together?" "Well, that would be nice." Gets the menus out. "Welcome to Pancake House." Starts walking off. I'm like, "She's going to spit in our food." She said, "Welcome to Pancake House," but her actions spoke so much louder than her words.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said it, but she didn't mean it. Her actions didn't line up. And I want to just walk you through an exercise real quick about how your actions truly affect even the physiology of your body. You see, words are a very powerful force, but actions change things in a moment of time. There's kinetic energy. There's the law of gravity. There's a natural world out there with laws of action and reaction and kinetic energy. And when you put something into motion, Everything else follows it. So I'm gonna walk you through something. Are you ready to play along? Okay, so we're going to pretend we're a depressed person. If you're depressed, do you sit with your shoulders back or your shoulders slumped? Okay, y'all already started talking softer. Well, if you're a depressed person, do you talk loud or do you talk soft? So let's start talking soft with our slumped shoulders. Do you have your chin up or do you have your chin down? I already started sticking my belly out too. I guess we stick our belly out when we're depressed. Do you look at the sky or do you look at the floor? Do you breathe full breaths and breathe, or do you breathe a little shallow breaths? So breathe real shallow, look at the floor, keep your chin down, talk soft, and now say in your depressed voice, I really want to be happy. Does that make you happy? Can you kind of feel it trying to grab you? All right, so are you ready to reverse this? Well, let's think about how a happy person acts. Does a happy person put their shoulders down or their shoulders back? Would a happy person sit or would they stand? Do I gotta tell you everything? Would a happy person look at the floor or would they look at the ceiling and the sky? Would their face be low or would their face be high and tight with a smile? So put on those smiles, people. Let's see those pearly whites. Right now, you're wishing you had used a Crest White strip, aren't you? Does a happy person talk soft or they talk loud and vibrant? So we're loud and we're vibrant. We're looking up, our chin's up, our face is high and tight. Are we breathing full breaths or are we breathing a little shallow breaths? Full breaths. Now say, I'm happy. I wish I was happy. Do you feel different now than you did in the other state? You just did a psychology exercise to biometrically change your body and biometrically change the way you feel. You just watch your body's actions. Come on. In 30 seconds, start working on your biochemistry. You can be seated. You see, the action changed. Get this. Your action changed what you received. Your action changed what you received. What have you been believing for that you haven't received? What have you been in faith for that you haven't received? What have you wanted God to do that you haven't received? Your faith, if your actions don't line up with your words, your faith is like this arrow. This arrow has a lot of possibility. This arrow can defend me if I use it. This arrow can feed me if I use it. Eric Brentlinger would kill 10 deer with this arrow. I would miss 10 deer with this arrow. Our faith has capacity if we use it. But faith left untouched. I'm about to tell you something that you might not agree with, but give me a moment to make my point. God is not a God of action. Not at all. He's a God of reaction. You see, he's done everything that he's ever going to do for you. He gave you the word. He gave you the Bible. He gave you the promise. He gave you the new covenant. He gave you Jesus. He tore the veil. He gave you direct communication. He put him on the cross and he took him out of the grave. He put Jesus at the right hand of the Father to pray in intercession for you. Everything God could ever do for you, it's sitting right here. And then he's saying, okay, it's your turn. You got to do the next part. It's in our hands. If we want the business, we're going to have to take a step. If we want the degree, we're going to have to sign up for school. If we can't get into school, we're going to have to apply for financial aid or the scholarship. If the marriage is going south, we're going to have to put more effort into it. If we want the promotion, we're going to have to get there earlier and stay later. We got to put some action. Got to put some action with it. Who is believing for something you don't have yet? And it's time. That's what God wants to do. He wants to release you. But we get all nervous about the tension. Oh, I don't like tension. Tension is so hard. When Titus got me this bow, it was like this. I'm like, Titus, what in the world? How am I supposed to use this? Guys, if you'll go to a wide shot for me, this won't go far. Watch. I'm like, how am I going to shoot that into the crowd? Well, if we add a little tension if we don't get scared when it gets a little tight, if we don't get nervous when it gets a little tougher, if we don't get nervous when the enemy comes at us with something, after all, there's Romans 8:28. God works all things together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. Do you love him today? We want life to be so easy. God says, no, don't be nervous of the tension. That's when your faith really gets activated. You see, without the tension, your faith is just laying here. But then when you put some tension with it, it's not that little thing where it goes 2 feet and it falls flat. Now it's time for it to actually go somewhere. Woo, heads up. I told you don't sleep in church today. God's got so many blessings, so many dreams, so many favors, so many opportunities out there for us, but we can't be afraid to take action. So it was Daylight Savings Time weekend, and David and I took the weekend off, and we took Ashton to Disney World. It's about a 2.5-hour drive from West Palm Beach. And we were staying at the hotel, and so we're on vacation, so what happens at Disney stays at Disney. So I don't drink coffee anymore because I like coffee, but coffee doesn't like me. But when I'm at Disney, I don't know those people, and whatever comes out of me, I'm not worried about it. So I ordered a latte. It was $5 and 500 calories. Who are we kidding? We were at Disney. It was $27. And I got it, and it tasted like dishwater. And I was sitting there going, oh, this is terrible. Oh, I hate it. Oh, complaining. Using energy. I'm in action complaining, but not doing anything to fix it. And I'm not fixing it because the hotel had like all their big bosses sitting right there. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I can't. And I don't want to get them in trouble. My husband's like, I am so sick of you complaining, woman. You go handle your business. Y'all can imagine him saying that, can't you? So I'm like, okay, and I go up there, I'm like, hey guys, I'm really sorry, I know your boss is right there, but I think maybe this was made with spoiled milk, if there's any possible way you could. She's like, oh, I'd be happy to fix it for you. Yes, we'd love to fix it. Awesome, I'm fixing her drink, everybody. Here I am freaking out under this tension, and all I had to do was take a little bit of action.
Yeah, that's good.
God wants us to take action. So it's 8:59 p.m., Ashton wants to ride Rock and Roller Coaster. The park closes at 9, and if you get there 1 minute before it closes, there is no line. So Ashton's running. I'm doing the little mom jog. She gets there before me. She gets in there, and I go to get on, and he's like, I'm sorry, we're closed. I said, my daughter just went on. He said, we're closed. Okay, I wait. She goes to the little thing, and she goes by me, and she's like, Mom, come on. I'm like, I tried. She's like, Mom, come on. I'm like, he won't let me in. She's like, Mom, just ask. I'm like, I did. It's funny how we fight for our right not to get our blessing. So she's like, Mom. I'm like, watch. My daughter's right there. Is there anyway? He's like, come on. Don't you hate being wrong in front of your kids? I fought for my right not to get blessed, but when I took action, was nice. He was nice. The blessing came. Now, whether or not I get on a roller coaster is not earth-shattering. But whether or not we share our faith with other people about Jesus is heaven opening and hell splitting. You see, we like to take action, and we get excited when we think about taking actions for us. But what about if we don't take action for what he asks us to do? You know, in Isaiah 1, verses 19, it says, the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. The willing and obedient. My husband says it this way. He says, you do, he do. Like terrible English, fabulous theology. You see, God's very interested in when you do things for him, he gets really excited about doing things for you. He's like, oh, they're taking action, and not only taking action for them, but they're also taking action for me. The willing and obedient eat the good of the land. How many of you know if God says it's good, it's good? So what does God want us to be obedient about? Well, the Great Commission is Mark 6, verse 15. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. That's what he wants you to do. Oh my gosh, preach the gospel. I've heard of Romans Road. I don't know where it's at. Is that North County or South County? I don't know what to do. Well, if you don't know what to do, don't get all nervous. Tell them you love Jesus and invite them to church. Let us share our faith. Let us lead them down that road. Let us preach to them if you're scared to. Well, I tried to invite them one time. Matter of fact, three times. One, two, three. Something tells me God's not necessarily impressed with that. He says there's so much value in not giving up and continuously taking action. Matter of fact, would you put up a picture of Courtney, or this girl, Courtney and her son Kobe. Kobe's actually sitting right there. Hey, Kobe. Hey, thanks for preaching today, bud. This is you. Kobe, would you just wave to everybody? So this is a real story about a real person. And there, Kobe's about 10 years old, and Courtney told me that, and we're telling this story, of course, with their permission, and they're sharing their testimony. She said this picture was taken 2 days before this happened. You see, her and her husband had gotten divorced. That happens, doesn't it? He'd gotten a new girlfriend, and she'd gotten pregnant, and so she was over it. It's done. It's over. Well, her husband Avery and Kobe started going to church, and Kobe kept wanting mom to come to church. But I can tell this story a little bit, but I thank Courtney on my voice memo when she was telling me the story. I asked her if I could just share her voice memo. It's about 1 minute. Can I share it with you?
Yeah.
So it says this.
Hey, Pastor Nicole. Here's the short version of our story. Kobe and Avery had been coming to church for probably a little over a year. And Kobe had invited me to church with them several times, but Avery and I were divorced, and I was definitely not interested in coming to church with him. But this one particular Sunday, Kobe was very adamant about me coming to church with them. He called me three different times that day and just kept asking me and begging me to come to church with them. And I finally gave in because what mom can say, no, I'm not going to church with you, with your kid. So I gave in and I came to church that day. And that particular day, Pastor Deva was preaching a message on forgiveness. And that was the moment that changed everything for me. Sorry, I try and keep it together. That moment literally changed everything for me and our family and my entire life. I was able to finally actually forgive Avery for everything that had gone on in our first marriage and that we had been through. And that day, I felt this incredible weight just lifted off my shoulders and realized that forgiveness isn't just about the other person, that it's about you as well. And just thinking back that had Kobe not invited me that day, had I not heard that message about forgiveness, we would not be married right now. We would not be together. We would not be the family we are. I would not have Chaley in my life. There's so many different things that particular day, from Kobe inviting me and being adamant about inviting me to church, just literally changed everything for us.
Wow.
Come on, somebody. And if you go to that next picture, there's Courtney and her husband of her second marriage, second time. They got married twice, y'all. There's Avery. They're married still. Kobe. So Avery, would you raise your hand? Avery and Courtney have been remarried strong for years. Courtney is now in full-time ministry, been on staff for 5 years, and works next to me and Pastor David every single day. Heads up the Tots ministry. And how many lives is she changing in those little ones? That she would have never been able to do that if Kobe, I'm so proud of you. You didn't give up on your mom. And you kept inviting her to church, even though she kept telling you no. When you were 10 years old, that is so strong. That is so strong, Kobe. So proud of you. No matter who gets saved because of Courtney, that's all going to Kobe's account when Kobe gets to heaven. He's preaching and he doesn't even know it. So I had asked somebody else, I said, do you know of anybody who, somebody kept asking him to church and it made a big difference? Because what happens is we invite somebody to church or we get one person to church and we feel like we've done our duty. I brought my person. But what happens is we shoot this arrow and we get it on our person and we're like, okay, boom, I got you. Oh, God loves you. I brought you to church. To hell with all y'all, the rest of y'all. I didn't mean hell in the cussing sense. I meant hell in the literal sense. Well, I got that one person. I invited that one person at work. But what about everybody else? Because it's not that God just loves them. God loves every one of his children. He wants us all to reach out to somebody. So there's a picture of a 7-year-old girl and her brother. And her mom and her dad were drug addicts. Dad was gone for days at a time, binging days at a time. Mom wasn't really keeping it together, getting drunk, using drugs. And they were kind of taking care of themselves. And this guy from her dad's work, this job he managed to keep somehow. Watch how God works. The guy at work kept inviting him to church. And the drugged out dad got so aggravated with it, he comes home one day from work aggravated and says, "We're all going to church, all y'all. Going to wear new clothes on Easter. It's what we're going to do. We'll show them people." Okay, whatever gets you here, buddy. So dad had a bad attitude going to church, so the kids had a bad attitude. We don't want to go. Well, they went, and then they had a good time. You see, if you're not using your gift, and you're gifted with kids, and you're not using it, if you're gifted with littles, and you're not using it, if you're gifted with students, and you're not using it, if you're gifted with coffee, and you're not using it, if you're gifted with women, and you're not using it, if you're gifted in events, and you're not using it, you're missing opportunity to minister to generations. Because this little girl and this little boy, they had fun at church that day, and they got back in the car, and they said, "Dad, this was so much fun. Can we go again, please? Can we go again?" Dad said, "You really liked it?" He said, "Yes, please." And she remembered these words. He said, "It felt like a weight came off of my shoulders. We're going to go back." So the family started going back to church. And she said it took years, but they went to church, and he went to rehab, and they went to therapy, and mom came off drugs, and dad came off drugs. And this family right here, that is our personal assistant, Patricia. She is in full-time ministry. She works next to us every single day. Her husband, Brian, is a worship leader, and their whole family is impacting people for Christ. It's not just about the person. It's about the generations. We have eternity to affect, friends. So that's why. That's why we gave out the arrow tattoos. A guy last night went out and got a real one right after church. I don't know. I'm not ready yet. Maybe I will be. I don't know. But if I do get a real one, you'll know the day it happened. And you'll know the why. Because if we stop shooting our arrows, what are we telling people? That we think about them and their family and their eternity and their children and their children's children. God's into your future. God's into your dream, but he's into his kids. And if we go to heaven, when we go to heaven, how many of y'all going to heaven? When we go to heaven, do we want him to look at us mad and say, "Why? I sent him as the biggest gift ever and you didn't share the gift." Do you want him crying and saying, "I don't understand how you wasted it"? Or do you want him looking at you saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you. He's done his part, now we do our part." We got to shoot as many arrows as we can. You and I together are going to change our city. We're going to change our nation. And we are going to change generations to come. Amen. If you wouldn't mind lifting your hand, if you have something you're believing for in your life or someone you're believing for in your life, I want to pray for you. Father God, I just ask that you send your angels and reach out to all those people that we've been praying for. And as we reach out to others, God, you react and you send people across our loved ones' path. We call them in, God. God, send the angels to put people across their path and the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart. And God, while we're acting on you for you, you're acting for us. Open up doors of opportunity, God. Give them ideas they've never had. Give them favor they shouldn't have. God, give them favor they shouldn't have. God, give them favor they shouldn't have. They're going to walk into people and people who didn't like them before. Stumps in the road, hurdles in the way. These big potholes that have been in their path, Father God. I declare that they are paved over with favor. That the path is clear. That the path is smooth. And they'll be able to walk forward, sure. As we do what you've asked us to do, God, it clears up for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today? I love y'all.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.